listening to the Simple Worship Podcast, recorded each week at University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas. To learn more about our services, ministries, and outreach opportunities, please visit universitychristian.org. Today we're going to be looking at a story from the book of Acts, which is like Luke part 2. It's the second part of Luke's gospel, if you will. And it tells the story of the beginning of the church after Jesus was killed and resurrected and ascended into heaven. This new community of folks that were followers of Jesus starting this new sort of way of worshiping God called the church. And Jesus had promised that he would send the Holy Spirit upon this group of believers. And that happened on Pentecost Sunday, which we will celebrate in a few weeks. But just a little preview, that was the day when there was the rushing wind and flames of fire appeared and people started speaking in other languages. Now, this new way of worshiping God was called the Way, and it was not really popular with the traditional Jewish leaders of the time. One of the big critics was a man named Saul, and I guess he would later be called Paul. Critic is probably not a harsh enough word. The scripture says that he was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of Jesus. And so he had even asked the high priest for permission to go to a town called Damascus and ask permission to find followers of Jesus, bind them up, men, women, and children, and bring them back to Jerusalem for punishment. And he got permission to do that. While he's on the way, he sees a bright light, he hears a loud voice. It's the voice of Jesus, and he's converted into Christianity and or to a follower of Jesus of the Way. He ended up writing a lot of the letters that became the bulk of our New Testament. But as much as Paul gets attention as a leader of the early church, it was Peter at the beginning, the disciple, one of the original disciples of Jesus, who was sort of the head honcho at this time. He was a devout Jew who had become a follower of Jesus. And so he didn't get a big conversion experience like Saul did, who was later Paul. He had learned from Jesus as Jesus taught. He had been there on the day of Pentecost, but he was still holding on to this idea that the Way, this group of people who were following Jesus, was only for Jewish people. So Paul thought that there is no new way. The traditional way is best. Peter thought there is a new way, but it's only for Jewish people. And so today we're going to be looking at a story that sort of challenges that idea. It's the story of a Gentile, a non-Jewish person, who was also a Roman centurion. His name was Cornelius, and the scripture says that he was devoted to prayer, that he spent lots of time talking to God in prayer. And so one day he was praying, and an angel appeared to him and said, God has heard your prayers. You need to send your folks to go find a guy named Peter. Here's where he lives. About the same time, Peter was praying, and he experienced a vision where he saw all these unclean animals and heard God telling him to eat the unclean animals. And Peter was like, can't do that because you told us not to. You know, have you ever read your book? We're not supposed to eat those animals. And the voice, God said, what God has made, you must not call profane. And so it happened three times. He kept saying, I don't want to eat this stuff. And the voice kept saying, what God made, you can't call profane. And then the voice said, by the way, there's some people looking for you. Sure enough, there's some people at the gate. It's the people that Cornelius had sent. They spent the night with him, and then they went to Caesarea where Cornelius was. And so when they got together, they sort of exchanged stories, and Cornelius told Peter about this visit from the angel that he had received. And here's what Peter said, almost like a light bulb came on. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. And so he starts a preaching, and he's telling Cornelius the story of Jesus, the death, the resurrection. And he says, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name, which is one of those parts of a sermon where you just really get going, you know, that's the meat of it. And then here's what happened next. This is Acts chapter 10, starting with verse 44. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they invited him to stay for a couple of days. Now, just to give you a little bit more background, a couple of chapters before, there was a man that the scripture calls an Ethiopian eunuch. And so he was foreign, a Gentile. He had a physical difference. As you know, he was a castrated male, so by law he was prevented from worshiping in the temple. But he had heard the good news from Philip, one of the disciples, and he had asked the question, "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" The answer was, "Nothing." So Philip baptized this Ethiopian eunuch. He went on his way rejoicing, and then one of my favorite things that ever happens in all of the Bible, it says that Philip just vanished from his sight and found himself in another city. I don't know. I didn't make it up. It's in there. Check it out. Acts chapter 8. It's very interesting. So today's story is another pushing of that boundary that had been set up against non-Jewish people, against Gentiles. So we've got a Gentile named Cornelius, military officer, who seems to have found favor in God. And so, like I said, Peter was just getting going on his sermon, but that sermon was interrupted by the Holy Spirit. It fell on all the people who were listening to him. They started speaking in tongues and praising God's name. And the Jewish believers who were there, it says, were astounded. Even the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. Even on Gentiles. Can you imagine? They were shocked. And so that's similar. And Peter uses similar language that the Ethiopian had asked. Peter says, "What's to prevent me from baptizing these Gentiles? They have received the same Holy Spirit that we received on the day of Pentecost. What keeps me from baptizing them?" The answer was, "Nothing." So Peter baptized them. And later, he would be criticized by the believers in Jerusalem because they heard that he had met with Gentiles and eaten with Gentiles and preached to Gentiles. And he said, "If God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" I love that question. Who was I that I could hinder God? There's so much richness in this story. It is a testament to God's expansive love. It's inclusive. It's life-changing. This mission that God has in Christ through the Holy Spirit. When Peter had that vision of those unclean animals, it wasn't God telling him he needed to change his diet. You know, this was God's way of saying, these animals have been called unclean, but I made them, so they're not profane. These people, Gentiles, I made them. They're not unclean. They're not profane. And so that's when that light bulb went off in Peter's mind when he said, "I get it now. I truly understand that God shows no partiality. God's love is for everybody." I remember when I was in college, I met this woman. She was a United Methodist minister, and she headed up a support group for LGBTQ students. And I don't know what surprised me more, that there was a clergy person who was supporting gay students or a clergy person that was a woman. I felt it's like the Jewish disciples in this story. I was astounded. I'd never met a female minister. I didn't think that could happen. And so I kind of get where these Jewish believers were coming from. This idea of God's love being available even to Gentiles, we've never heard of this. It's a new thing. And I also love how the Holy Spirit works in this story. Peter didn't even get to finish his sermon. He's just got to the good part, but enough had been said that the Holy Spirit was like, I'm unleashing, I'm coming down on these people, I'm filling these people, they're praising God, they're speaking in tongues. So throughout the book of Acts, we see this happen again and again. We get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we get the baptism with water. Sometimes the water baptism comes first and then you receive the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you receive the Holy Spirit and then you get baptized with water, because the Holy Spirit is not going to be held to a rigid schedule or an order of events. The Holy Spirit is going to unleash where the Holy Spirit will. I don't think we talk about the Holy Spirit enough. I think we don't really understand it, but we can't. We can't understand the Holy Spirit. There's really no way to even try to understand how the Holy Spirit works or why the Holy Spirit works. And I wonder if we are hindering the work of the Holy Spirit because we don't understand it. We feel like we need to understand everything about it before we experience it. What would happen if we just let go, if we just unleashed ourselves and let the Holy Spirit unleash itself in us and ride that wave? I think it's sad that there's so many Christians, even now, who are trying to decide who is worthy of God's love. And Jesus once said, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from and you don't know where it's going. It's the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit. We can't control the Holy Spirit, and we cannot stop God from loving people without partiality. And to try to prevent it is futile. So my prayer is that we would let the Holy Spirit interrupt any thoughts we have that try to narrow God's love, and that we may follow in this way of Jesus and preach and practice the hope and the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ for everybody. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Simple Worship Podcast. If you enjoyed today's sermon, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with others. To learn more, please visit universitychristian.org.